With a gasping sensation of near panic, she realized she had barely retained her humanity, that she had been on the point of losing it.
I've been trying too hard to think like an honored matre, manipulating and maneuvering anyone I could, and all in the name of Bene Gesserit's survival.
Bell said there were no limits beyond which the sisterhood would refuse to go in preserving the Bene Gesserit. A modicum of truth in this boast, but it was the truth of all boasting. There were indeed things a reverend mother would not do to save the sisterhood.
We would not block the tyrant's golden path.
Survival of humankind took precedence over survival of the sisterhood.
Else our grail of human maturity is meaningless.
But oh, the perils of leadership in a species so anxious to be told what to do. How little they knew of what they created by their demands. Leaders made mistakes, and those mistakes, amplified by the numbers who followed without questioning, moved inevitably toward great disasters.
Lemming behavior.
It was right that her sisters watched her carefully. All governments needed to remain under suspicion during their time of power, including that of the sisterhood itself.
Trust no government, not even mine. They are watching me this very instant. Very little escapes my sisters. They will know my plan in time.
It required constant mental cleansing to face up to the fact of her great power over the sisterhood.
I did not seek this power. It was thrust upon me.
And she thought,
power attracts the corruptible. Suspect all who seek it.
She knew the chances were great that such people were susceptible to corruption or already lost. Audrade made a mental note to scribe and transmit a coda memo to archives. Let Bell sweat this one. We should grant power over our affairs only to those who are reluctant to hold it, and then only under conditions that increase the reluctance.
Perfect description of the Bene Gesserit.
Are you well, Da?
It was Belonda's voice from the tube door beside Audrade.
You look strange.
I just thought of something to do. Are you getting off?
Belonda stared at her as they exchanged places. The tube field caught Audrade and whisked her away from that questioning gaze. Audrade entered the workroom and saw her table piled with things her aides thought only she could resolve. Politics, she recalled as she sat at her table and prepared to deal with responsibilities. Tam and Bell had heard her clearly the other day, but they had only the vaguest idea of what they would be asked to support. They were worried and increasingly watchful.
As they should be.
Almost any subject had political elements, she thought. As emotions were whipped up, political forces came more and more into the foreground. This put lie to that old nonsense about separation of church and state. Nothing more susceptible to emotional heat than religion.
No wonder we distrust emotions.
Not all emotions, of course. Only the ones you could not escape in moments of necessity. Love, hate. Let in a little anger sometimes, but keep it on a short leash. That was the sisterhood's belief.
Utter nonsense.
The tyrant's golden path made their mistake no longer tolerable. The golden path left the Bene Gesserit in a perpetual backwater. You could not minister to infinity. Bell's recurrent question had no answer.
What did he really want us to do?
Into what actions was he manipulating us, as we manipulate others? Why look for meaning where there is none? Would you follow a path you knew led nowhere?
Golden path, a track laid down in one imagination.
Infinity is nowhere,
and the finite mind balked. Here was where Mentats found mutable projections, always producing more questions than answers. It was the empty grail of those who, noses close to an endless circle, looked for the one answer to all things,
looking for their own kind of God.
She found it hard to censure them. The mind recoiled in the face of infinity.
The void.
Alchemists of any age were like ragpickers bent over their bundles, saying, there must be order in here somewhere. If I keep on, I'm sure to find it. And all the time, the only order was the order they themselves created.
Ah, tyrant, you droll fellow, you saw it. You said, I will create order for you to follow.
Here is the path, see it? No, don't look over there. That is the way of the emperor without clothes, a nakedness apparent only to children and the insane. Keep your attention where I direct it. This is my golden path. Isn't that a pretty name? It's all there is and all there ever will be. Tyrant, you were another clown, pointing us into endless recycling of cells from that lost and lonely ball of dirt in our common past. You knew the human universe could never be more than communities and weak glue binding us when we scattered. A common birth tradition so far away in our past that pictures of it carried by descendants are mostly distorted. Reverend mothers carry the original, but we cannot force it onto unwilling people. You see, tyrant, we heard you. Let them come asking for it, then and only then. And that was why you preserved us, you Atreides bastard. That's why I must get to work. Despite the peril to her sense of humanity, she knew she would continue to insinuate herself into the ways of honored matres. I must think as they think. The hunter's problem. Predator and prey shared it. Not quite needle in the haystack. More a question of tracking across a terrain littered with the familiar and the unfamiliar. Bene Gesserit deceptions ensured that the familiar would cause honored matres at least as much difficulty as the unfamiliar. But what have they done for us? Interplanetary communication worked for the hunted, limited by economics for millennia. Not much of it except among important people and traders. Important meant what it had always meant. Rich, powerful, bankers, officials, couriers, military. Important labelled many categories. Negotiators, entertainers, medical personnel, skilled technicians, spies, and other specialists. It was not much different in kind from the days of the master masons on old Terra. Mainly a difference in numbers, quality, and sophistication. Boundaries were transparent to some as they had always been. She felt it important to review this occasionally, looking for flaws. The great mass of planet-bound humanity spoke of the silence of space, meaning they could not afford the cost of such travel or communication. Most people knew the news they received across this barrier was managed for special interests. It had always been that way. On a planet, terrain and avoiding telltale radiation dictated the communications systems used. Tubes, messengers, light lines, nerve riders, and many permutations. Secrecy and encryption were important not only between planets, but on them. Odraid saw it as a system honored matres could tap if they found an entry point. Hunters had to begin by deciphering the system, but then, where did a trail to Chapter House originate? Untrackable no-ships, Ixion machines, and guild navigators all contributed to the blanket of silence between planets except for the privileged few. Give hunters no starting points. It came as a surprise, then, when an aging reverend mother from a Bene Gesserit punishment planet appeared at Mother Superior's workroom shortly before the lunch break. Archives identified her. Name, Dortugler. Sent to a special petition years ago for an unforgivable infraction. Memory said it had been a love affair of some kind. Odraid did not ask for details. Some of them were displayed anyway, Belonda interfering again. Emotional upheaval at the time of Dortugler's banishment, Odraid noted. Futile attempts by the lover to prevent separation. Odraid recalled gossip about Dortugler's disgrace. The Jessica crime! Much valuable information arrived via gossip. Where the devil had Dortugler been posted? Never mind, not important at the moment. More important, why is she here? Why did she dare a trip that might lead the hunters to us? Odraid asked Streggy when she announced the arrival. Streggy did not know. She says what she must reveal is for your ears alone, Mother Superior. Alone? Odraid almost chuckled. Considering the constant monitoring, surveillance was a better term, of her every action. This Dortugler has not said why she is here? The ones who told me to interrupt you, Mother Superior, said they thought you should see her. Odraid pursed her lips. The fact that the banished Reverend Mother had penetrated this far aroused Odraid's curiosity. A persistent Reverend Mother could cross ordinary barriers, but these barriers were not ordinary. Dotujla's reason for coming already had been told. Others had heard and passed her. It was apparent that Dotujla had not relied on Bene Gesserit wiles to persuade her sisters. That would have brought immediate rejection. No time for such nonsense. So she had observed the chain of command. Her action spoke of careful assessment, a message within whatever message she brought.
Bring her.
Dotujla had aged smoothly on her backwater planet. She revealed her years mostly in shallow wrinkles around her mouth. The hood of her robe concealed her hair, but her eyes peering from beneath it were bright and alert.
Why are you here?
Adraid's tone said this had damned well better be important. Dotujla's story was straightforward enough. She and three Reverend Mother associates had spoken to a band of Futars from the scattering. Dotujla's post had been searched out and asked to get a message to Chapter House. Dotujla had filtered the request through truth sense, she said, reminding Mother Superior that even in backwaters there could be some talent. Judging the message truthful, her sisters concurring, Dotujla had acted with speed, not unmindful of caution.
All due dispatch in our own no-ship, was the way she put it.
The ship, she said, was small, a smuggler type.
One person can operate it.
The heart of the message was fascinating. Futars wished to ally themselves with Reverend Mothers in opposition to Honored Matres. How much of a force these Futars commanded was difficult to assess, Dotujla said.
They refused to say when I asked.
Odraid had assessed many stories about Futars. Killers of Honored Matres? There were reasons to believe it, but Futar performance was confusing, especially in accounts from Gamu.
How many in this party?
16 Futars and 4 handlers. That's what they called themselves, handlers. And they say Honored Matres have a dangerous weapon they can use only once.
You only mentioned Futars. Who are these handlers? And what is this about a secret weapon?
I reserved mention of them. They appear to be human within variables noted from the scattering. 3 men and a woman. As to the weapon, they would not say more.
Appear to be human?
There you have it, Mother Superior. I had the odd first impression they were face dancers. None of the criteria applied. Pheromones negative. Gestures, expressions, everything negative.
Just that first impression?
I cannot explain it.
What of the Futars?
They match the descriptions. Human in outward appearance, but with unmistakable ferocity. Cat family origins, I would judge.
So others have said.
They speak, but it's an abbreviated Galak. Word bursts, I thought them. When eat, you nice lady, want head scratch, sit here. They appeared immediately responsive to the handlers, but not fearful. Between Futars and handlers, I had the impression there was mutual respect and liking.
Knowing the risks, why did you think this important enough to bring immediately?
These are people from the scattering. Their offer of alliance is an opening into places where Honored Matres originate.
You asked about them, of course, and about conditions in the scattering.
No answers.
The fact, simply stated. One could not sneer at the banished sister, no matter how much of a cloud she carried over her past. More questions were indicated. Odraid asked them, observing closely as answers came, watching the old mouth like a withered fruit opening purple and closing pink. Something in Dortujla's service, the long years of penitence perhaps, had gentled her but left the core of Bene Gesserit toughness untouched. She spoke with natural hesitancy. Her gestures were softly fluid. She looked at Odraid with kindness.
There was the flaw her sisters condemned, Bene Gesserit cynicism held at bay.
Dotujla interested Odraid. Sister to sister, she spoke, a strong and well-composed mind behind her words. A mind toughened by adversity in the years at a punishment post, doing what she could now to make up for that lapse of her youth. No attempt to appear some time-server not up on current affairs. An account paired to essentials. Let it be known that she had as full as possible an awareness of necessities. Bowed to Mother Superior's decisions and caution about the dangerous visit, but still felt that you should have this information.
I'm convinced it's not a trap.
D'Ortuzla's demeanour was above reproach. Direct gaze, eyes and face held in proper composure, but no attempts at concealment. A sister could read through this mask for a proper assessment. D'Ortuzla acted from a sense of urgency. She had been a fool once, but she no longer was a fool. What was the name of her punishment planet? The work table's projector produced it. Boozel. That name brought an alertness to Adraid. Boozel. Her fingers danced in the console, confirming memories. Boozel. Mostly ocean. Cold, very cold, hard scrabble islands, none bigger than a large no-ship. The Bene Gesserit once had considered Boozel a punishment. Object lesson. Careful, girl, or you'll be sent to Boozel. Adraid recalled the other key then. Sue stones. Boozel was a place where they had naturalized the monoped sea creature Collister, whose abraded carapace produced marvelous tumors, one of the most valued jewels in the universe. Sue stones. D'Ortuzla was wearing one of the things just visible above the tuck of her neckline. The workroom light turned it an elegant blend of deeply glowing sea green and mauve. It was larger than a human eyeball, flaunted there like a declaration of wealth. They probably thought little of such decorations on Boozel. Pick them up on the beaches. Sue stones. That was significant. By Bene Gesserit design, D'Ortuzla had frequent dealings with smugglers. Witness her possession of that no-ship. This must be addressed with care. No matter the sister-to-sister discussion, it was still Mother Superior and Reverend Mother from a punishment planet. Smuggling. A major crime to honored matres and others who had not faced the fact of unenforceable laws. Fold space had not changed it for smuggling, just made small intrusions easier, if anything. Tiny no-ships. How small could you make one of them? A gap in O'Drade's knowledge. Archives corrected it. Diameter, meters 140. Small enough, then. Sue stones were a cargo with natural attraction. Fold space was a critical economic barrier. How valuable a cargo compared to size and mass? You could spend many solas moving massive stuff. Sue stones, magnetic to smugglers. They had special interest to honored matres as well. Simple economics? Always a big market. As attractive to smugglers as melange now that the guild was being so free with it. The guild had always stockpiled with generations of spice in scattered storage, and doubtless many hidden backups. They think they can buy immunity from honored matres. But that offered something she sensed might be turned to advantage. In their wild anger, honored matres had destroyed Dune, only known natural source of melange. Still unthinking of consequences, odd that, they had eliminated the Tleilaxu, whose axolotl tanks had flooded the old empire with spice. And we have creatures capable of recreating Dune. We also may have the only living Tleilaxu master. Locked in Cytale's mind, the way to turn axolotl tanks into a melange cornucopia. If we can get him to reveal it. The immediate problem was D'Ortuzla. The woman conveyed her ideas with a conciseness that did her credit. Handlers and their futars, she said, were disturbed by something they would not reveal. D'Ortuzla had been wise not to attempt Bene Gesserit persuasives, no telling how people from the scattering might react. But what disturbed them? Some threat other than honored matres, D'Ortuzla suggested. She would not venture more, but the possibility was there and had to be considered. The essential thing is that they say they want an alliance, O'Draid said. Common cause for a common problem was the way they had put it. Despite truth sense, D'Ortuzla advised only a cautious exploration of the offer. Why go to Boozel at all? Because honored matres had missed Boozel or judged it insignificant in their angry sweeps? Not likely, D'Ortuzla said. O'Draid agreed. D'Ortuzla, no matter how grubby her original posting, now commanded a valuable property and, much more important, she was a reverend mother with a no-ship to take her to Mother Superior. She knew the location of Chapter House. Useless to the hunters, of course. They knew a reverend mother would kill herself before betraying that secret. Problems compounded problems. But first, some sisterly sharing. Dothujla was sure to make a correct interpretation of Mother Superior's motives. Odraid shifted the conversation into personal matters. It went well. Dothujla was clearly amused, but willing to talk. Reverend mothers on lonely posts tended to have what sisters called other interests. An earlier age had called them hobbies, but attention devoted to interests often was extreme. Odraid thought most interests boring, but found it significant that Dothujla called hers a hobby.
She collected old coins, did she? What kind? I have 2 early Greek in silver and a perfect gold obol. Authentic? They're real?
Meaning she had done a self-scan of other memory to authenticate them. Fascinating. She exercised her abilities in a strengthening way, even with her hobby. Inner history and exterior coincided.
This is all very interesting, Mother Superior, Dothujla said finally. I appreciate your reassurance that we are still sisters, and find your interest in ancient paintings a parallel hobby, but we both know why I risked coming here. The smugglers.
Of course.
Honored Matres cannot have overlooked my presence on Boozel.
Smugglers will sell to the high bidders. We must assume they have profited from their valuable knowledge about Boozel, the Sioux Stones, and a resident Reverend Mother with attendance. And we must not forget that handlers found me.
Damn, Odraid thought. Dothujla is the kind of advisor I like to have near me. I wonder how many more such buried treasures are out there, tucked away for mean motives. Why do we so often shunt our talented ones aside? It's an ancient weakness the sisterhood has not exercised.
I think we have learned something valuable about Honored Matres, Dothujla said.
There was no need to nod agreement. This was the core of what had brought Dothujla to Chapter House. The ravening hunters had come swarming into the old empire, killing and burning wherever they suspected the presence of Bene Gesserit establishments, but the hunters had not touched Boozel, even though its location must be known.
Why? Odraid asked, voicing what was in their minds. Never damage your own nest, Dothujla said. You think they're already on Boozel? Not yet. But you believe Boozel is a place they want? Prime projection.
Odraid merely stared at her. So Dothujla had another hobby. She burrowed into other memory, revived and perfected talents stored there. Who could blame her? Time must drag on Boozel.
A mentat summation, Odraid accused.
Yes, Mother Superior.
Very meek. Reverend mothers were supposed to dig into other memory this way only with Chapter House permission, and then only with guidance and support from companion sisters. So Dothujla remained a rebel. She followed her own desires the way she had with her forbidden lover. Good. The Bene Gesserit needed such rebels.
They want Boozel undamaged, Dothujla said. A water world? It would make a suitable home for amphibian servants. Not the footers or handlers. I studied them carefully.
The evidence suggested a plan by Honored Matres to bring in enslaved servants, amphibians perhaps, to harvest Sioux stones. Honored Matres could have amphibian slaves. Knowledge that produced footers might create many forms of sentient life.
Slaves. Dangerous imbalance, Odraid said.
Dothujla showed her first strong emotion, deep revulsion that drew her mouth into a tight line. It was a pattern the sisterhood had long recognized, the inevitable failure of slavery and peonage. You created a reservoir of hate, implacable enemies. If you had no hope of exterminating all of these enemies, you dared not try. Temper your efforts by the sure awareness that oppression will make your enemies strong. The oppressed will have their day, and heaven help the oppressor when that day comes. It was a two-edged blade. The oppressed always learned from and copied the oppressor. When the tables were turned, the stage was set for another round of revenge and violence, roles reversed, and reversed, and reversed, ad nauseam.
Will they never mature? Odraid asked.
Dothujla had no answer, but she did have an immediate suggestion.
I must return to Boozel.
Odraid considered this. Once more, the banished Reverend Mother was ahead of Mother Superior. As disagreeable as the decision was, they both knew it as their best move. Footers and handlers would return. More important, With a planet honored Matre's desired, odds were high that visitors from the scattering had been observed. Honored Matres would have to make a move, and that move could reveal much about them.
"Of course, they think Boozel is bait for a trap," Odraid said.
"I could let it be known that I was banished by my sisters," Dort Ujla said. "It can be verified."
"Use yourself as bait?"
"Mother Superior, what if they could be tempted into a parley?"
"With us? What a startling idea."
"I know their history is not one of reasonable negotiations, but still,
it's brilliant.
But let us make it even more enticing. Say I am convinced I must come to them with a proposal for submission of the Bene Gesserit."
"Mother Superior!" "I have no intention of surrendering, but what better way to get them to talk? Boozel is not a good place for a meeting. Our facilities are very poor. They are on Junction in force. If they suggested Junction as a meeting place, could you let yourself be persuaded?"
"It would take careful planning, Mother Superior."
"Oh, very careful."
Odraid's fingers flickered in her console.
"Yes, tonight," she said, answering a visible question,
and then, speaking to Dort Ujla across the cluttered work table,
"I want you to meet with my council and others before you return. We will brief you thoroughly, but I give you my personal assurance you will have an open assignment. The important thing is to get them to a meeting on Junction. And I hope you know how much I dislike using you as bait."
When Dort Ujla remained deep in thought and not responding, Odraid said,
"They may ignore our overtures and wipe you out. Still, you are the best bait we have."
Dort Ujla showed she still had her sense of humor.
"I don't much like the idea of dangling on a hook myself, Mother Superior. Please keep a firm grip on the line."
She stood and, with a worried look at the work on Odraid's table, said,
"You have so much to do and I fear I have kept you far past lunch."
"We will dine here together, sister. For the moment, you are more important than anything else."
All states are abstractions. Octon Politicus, BG Archives.
Lucilla cautioned herself not to assume too familiar a feeling about this acid green room and the recurring presence of great honored Matre. This was Junction, stronghold of the ones who sought extermination of the Bene Gesserit. This was the enemy, day 17. The infallible mental clock that had been set ticking during the spice agony told her that she had adapted to the planet's circadian rhythms. Awake at dawn, no telling when she would be fed. Honored Matre confined her to one meal a day, and always that futar in its cage. A reminder, both of you in cages, this is how we treat dangerous animals. We may let them out occasionally to stretch their legs and give us pleasure, but back to the cage afterward. Minimal amounts of melange in the food. Not being parsimonious, not with their wealth. A small show of what could be yours if you would only be reasonable. When will she come today? Great honored Matre arrivals had no set time. Random appearances to confuse the captive? Probably. There would be other demands on a commander's time. Fit the dangerous pet into a regular schedule whenever you could. I may be dangerous, Spider Lady, but I am not your pet. Lucilla felt the presence of scanning devices, things that did more than provide stimulus for eyes. These looked into flesh, probing for concealed weapons, for the functioning of organs. Does she have strange implants? What about additional organs surgically added to her body? None of those, Madam Spider. We rely on things that come with birth. Lucilla knew her greatest immediate danger, that she would feel inadequate in such a setting. Her captors had her at a terrible disadvantage, but they had not destroyed her Bene Gesserit capabilities. She could will herself to die before the sheer in her body was depleted to the point of betrayal. She still had her mind, and the hoard from Lampardus. The futar panel opened and it came sliding out in its cage. So Spider Queen was on her way, displaying threat ahead of her as usual. Early today. Earlier than ever. Good morning, Futar. Lucilla spoke with a merry lilt. The Futar looked at her but did not speak. You must hate it in that cage, Lucilla said. Not like cage. She had already determined that these creatures possessed a degree of language facility, but the extent of it still eluded her. I suppose she keeps you hungry, too. Would you like to eat me? Eat? Definite show of interest. I wish I were your handler. You handler? Would you obey me if I were? Spider Queen's heavy chair lifted from its concealment under the floor. No sign of her yet, but it had to be assumed she listened to these conversations. The Futar stared at Lucilla with peculiar intensity. Do handlers keep you caged and hungry? Handler? Clear inflections of a question. I want you to kill Great Honored Matra. That would be no surprise to them. Kill Dharma? And eat her. Dharma poison. Dejected. Ooh, isn't that an interesting bit of information? She's not poison. Her meat is the same as mine. The Futar approached her to the cage's limits, the left hand peeled down its lower lip. Angry redness of a scar there, appearance of a burn. See, poison, it said, dropping its hand. I wonder how she did that. No smell of poison about her. Human flesh plus adrenaline-based drug to produce orange eyes in response to anger. And those other responses Mabella revealed. A sense of absolute superiority. How far did Futar comprehension go? Was it a bitter poison? The Futar grimaced and spat, action faster and more powerful than words. Do you hate Dharma? Bared canines. Do you fear her? Smile. Then why don't you kill her? You not handler. It requires a kill command from a handler. Great Honored Matra entered and sank into her chair. Lucilla pitched her voice in the merry lilt. Good morning, Dharma. I did not give you permission to call me that. Low and with beginning flecks of orange in the eyes. Futar and I have been having a conversation. I know. More orange in the eyes. And if you have spoiled him for me... But Dharma, don't call me that! Out of her chair, eyes blazing orange. Do sit down, Lucilla said. This is no way to conduct an interrogation. Sarcasm, a dangerous weapon. You said yesterday you wanted to continue our discussion of politics. How do you know what time it is? Sinking back in her chair, but eyes still flaming. All Bene Gesserit have this ability. We can feel the rhythms of any planet after a short time on it. A strange talent. Anyone can do it. A matter of being sensitized. Could I learn this? Orange fading. I said anyone. You're still human, aren't you? A question not yet fully answered. Why do you say you witches have no government? Wants to change the subject, our abilities worry her. That's not what I said. We have no conventional government. Not even a social code. There's no such thing as a social code to meet all necessities. A crime in one society can be a moral requirement in another society. People always have government. Orange completely faded. Why does this interest her so much? People have politics. I told you that yesterday. Politics, the art of appearing candid and completely open while concealing as much as possible. So you witches conceal. I did not say that. When we say politics, that's a warning to our sisters. I don't believe you. Humans always create some form of accord. As good a word as any. It angers her. When Lucilla made no further response, Great Honored Matra leaned forward. You're concealing. Isn't it my right to hide from you things that might help you defeat us? There's a juicy morsel of bait. I thought so, leaning back with a look of satisfaction. However, why not reveal it? You think the niches of authority are always there for the filling, and you don't see what that says about my sisterhood. Oh, please tell me, heavy-handed with her sarcasm. You believe all of this conforms to instincts going back to tribal days and beyond, chiefs and elders, mystery mother and council, and before that, the strong man or woman who saw to it that everyone was fed, that all were guarded by the fire at the cave's mouth. It makes sense. Does it really? Oh, I agree. Evolution of the forms is quite clearly laid out. Evolution, witch. One thing piled on another. Evolution. See how she snaps at key words. It's a force that can be brought under control by turning it upon itself. Control. Look at the interest you've aroused. She loves that word. So you make laws just like anyone else. Regulations, perhaps. But isn't everything temporary? Intensely interested. Of course. But your society is administered by bureaucrats who know that they cannot apply the slightest imagination to what they do. That's important. Really puzzled, look at her scowl. Only to you, honored Matra. Great, honored Matra. Isn't she touchy? Why don't you permit me to call you Dharma? We're not intimates. Is Futar an intimate? Stop changing the subject! Want tooth clean, the Futar said. You shut up! Really blazing. The Futar sank to its haunches, but it was not cowed. Great honored Matra turned her orange gaze toward Lucilla. What about bureaucrats? They have no room to maneuver because that's the way their superiors grow fat. If you don't see the difference between regulation and law, both have the force of law. I see no difference. She doesn't know what she reveals. Laws convey the myth of enforced change. A bright new future will come because of this law or that one. Laws enforce the future. Regulations are believed to enforce the past. Believed? She doesn't like that word either. In each instance, action is illusory, like appointing a committee to study a problem. The more people on the committee, the more preconceptions applied to the problem. Careful, she's really thinking about this, applying it to herself. Lucilla pitched her voice in its most reasonable tones. You live by a past magnified and try to understand some unrecognized future. We don't believe in prescience. Yes, she does. At last, this is why she keeps us alive. Dharma, please. There's always something unbalanced about confining yourself to a tight circle of laws. Be careful. She didn't bridle at your calling her Dharma. Great honored Matra's chair creaked as she shifted it. But laws are necessary. Necessary? That's dangerous. How so? Softly, she feels threatened. Necessary rules and laws keep you from adapting. Inevitably, everything comes crashing down. It's like bankers thinking they buy the future. Power in my time, to hell with my descendants. What are descendants doing for me? Don't say it. Look at her. She's reacting out of the common insanity. Give her another small taste. Honored Matras originated as terrorists. Bureaucrats first, and terror as your chosen weapon. When it's in your hands, use it. But we were rebels. Terrorists. That's too chaotic. She likes that word, chaos. It defines everything on the outside. She doesn't even ask how you know her origins. She accepts our mysterious abilities. Isn't it odd, Dharma? No reaction. Continue. How rebels all too soon fall into old patterns if they are victorious. It's not so much a pitfall in the path of all governments as it is a delusion waiting for anyone who gains power. Ha! And I thought you would tell me something new. We know that one. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. wrong dharma, something more subtle but far more pervasive. Power attracts the corruptible. You dare accuse me of being corrupt? Watch the eyes. I accuse you? The only one who can do that is yourself. I merely give you the Bene Gesserit opinion. And tell me nothing. Yet we believe there's a morality above any law, which must stand watchdog on all attempts at unchanging regulation. You used both words in one sentence and she didn't notice. Power always works, witch. That's the law. And governments that perpetuate themselves long enough under that belief always become packed with corruption. Morality. She's not very good at sarcasm, especially when she's on the defensive. I've really tried to help you, Dharma. Laws are dangerous to everyone, innocent and guilty alike. No matter whether you believe yourself powerful or helpless, they have no human understanding in and of themselves. There's no such thing as human understanding. Our question is answered. Not human. Talk to her unconscious side. She's wide open. Laws must always be interpreted. The law-bound want no latitude for compassion, no elbow room. The law is the law. It is. Very defensive. That's a dangerous idea, especially for the innocent. People know this instinctively and resent such laws. Little things are done, often unconsciously, to hamstring the law and those who deal in that nonsense. How dare you call it nonsense? Half rising from her chair and sinking back. Oh, yes. And the law, personified by all whose livelihoods depend on it, becomes resentful hearing words such as mine. Rightly so, witch. But she doesn't tell you to be silent. More law, you say. We need more law. So you make new instruments of non-compassion and, incidentally, new niches of employment for those who feed on the system. That's the way it's always been and always will be. Wrong again. It's a rondo. It rolls and rolls until it injures the wrong person or the wrong group. Then you get anarchy. Chaos. See her jump. Rebels, terrorists, increasing outbursts of raging violence, a jihad, and all because you created something non-human. Hand on her chin, watch it. How did we wander so far away from politics, witch? Was this your intention? We haven't wandered a fraction of a millimeter. I suppose you're going to tell me you witches practice a form of democracy. With an alertness you cannot imagine. Try me. She thinks you'll tell her a secret. Tell her one. Democracy is susceptible to being led astray by having scapegoats paraded in front of the electorate. Get the rich, the greedy, the criminals, the stupid leader, and so on ad nauseam. You believe as we do. My, how desperately she wants us to be like her. You said you were the bureaucrats who rebelled. You know the flaw. A top-heavy bureaucracy the electorate cannot touch always expands to the system's limits of energy. Steal it from the aged, from the retired, from anyone, especially from those we once called middle class, because that's where most of the energy originates. You think of yourselves as middle class. We don't think of ourselves in any fixed way. But other memory tells us the flaws of bureaucracy. I presume you have some form of civil service for the lower orders. We take care of our own. That's a nasty echo. Then you know how that dilutes the vote. Chief symptom, people don't vote. Instinct tells them it's useless. Democracy is a stupid idea anyway. We agree. It's demagogue-prone. That's a disease to which electoral systems are vulnerable. Yet demagogues are easy to identify. They gesture a lot and speak with pulpit rhythms, using words that ring of religious fervor and God-fearing sincerity. She's chuckling. Sincerity with nothing behind it takes so much practice, Dharma. The practice can always be detected. By truth-sayers. See how she leans forward? We have her again. by anyone who learns the signs. Repetition, great attempts to keep your attention on words. You must pay no attention to words. Watch what the person does. That way you learn the motives. Then you don't have a democracy. Tell me more Bene Gesserit secrets. But we do. I thought you said we guard it well, watching for the things I've just described. The dangers are great, but so are the rewards. Do you know what you've told me? That you're a pack of fools? Nice lady, the futar said. Shut up or I'll send you back to the herd. You not nice, Dharma. See what you've done, witch. You've ruined him. I suppose there are always others. Ooh, look at that smile. Lucilla matched the smile precisely, pacing her own breaths to those of the great honored Matra. See how alike we are? Of course I tried to injure you. Wouldn't you have done the same in my place? So you know how to make a democracy do whatever you want. A gloating expression. The technique is quite subtle, but easy. You create a system where most people are dissatisfied, vaguely or deeply. That's how she sees it. Look at her nod in time to your words. Lucilla held herself to the rhythm of great honored Matra's nodding head. This builds up widespread feelings of vindictive anger. Then you supply targets for that anger as you need them. A diversionary tactic. I prefer to think of it as distraction. Don't give them time to question. Bury your mistakes in more laws. You traffic in illusion. Bullring tactics. Oh yes, that's good. She's almost gleeful. Give her more bullring. Wave the pretty cape. They'll charge it and be confused when there's no matador behind the thing. That dulls the electorate just as it dulls the bull. Fewer people use their vote intelligently next time. And that's why we do it. We do it. Does she listen to herself? Then you rail against the apathetic electorate. Make them feel guilty. Keep them dull. Feed them. Amuse them. Don't overdo it. Oh no, never overdo it. Let them know hunger awaits them if they don't fall into line. Give them a look at the boredom imposed on boat rockers. Thank you, Mother Superior. It's an appropriate image. Don't you let the bull get an occasional matador. Of course. Thump. Got that one. Then you wait for the laughter to subside. I knew you didn't allow a democracy. Why won't you believe me? You're tempting fate. Because you'd have to permit open voting, juries and judges, and we call them proctors, a sort of jury of the whole. Now you've confused her. And no laws, regulations, whatever you want to call them. Didn't I say we defined them separately? Regulation, past. Law, future. You limit these proctors somehow. They can arrive at any decision they desire, the way a jury should function. The law be damned. That's a very disturbing idea. She's disturbed, all right. Look at how dull her eyes are. The first rule of our democracy, no laws restricting juries. Such laws are stupid. It's astonishing how stupid humans can be when acting in small, self-serving groups. You're calling me stupid, aren't you? Beware the orange. There appears to be a rule of nature that says it's almost impossible for self-serving groups to act enlightened. Enlightened? I knew it. That's a dangerous smile. Be careful. It means flowing with the forces of life, adjusting your actions that life may continue. With the greatest amount of happiness for the greatest number, of course. Quick, we've been too clever, change the subject. That was an element the tyrant left out of his golden path. He didn't consider happiness, only survival of humankind. We said change the subject, look at her, she's in a rage. Great honored Matra dropped her hand away from her chin. And I was going to invite you into our order. Make you one of us. Release you. Get off this quick. Don't speak, great honored Matra said. Don't even open your mouth. Now you've done it. You'd help Lonio or one of the others, and she'd be in my seat. She glanced at the crouching Futa. Eat, darling. Not eat, nice lady. Then I'll throw her carcass to the herd. Great, honored Matre, I told you not to speak. You dared call me Dharma. She was out of her chair in a blur. Lucilla's cage door slammed open with a crash against the wall. Lucilla tried to dodge, but the sugar wire confined her. She did not see the kick that crushed her temple. As she died, Lucilla's awareness was filled with a scream of rage, the horde of Lampadas venting emotions that it confined for many generations.
Some never participate. Life happens to them. They get by on little more than dumb persistence and resist with anger or violence all things that might lift them out of resentment-filled illusions of security. Alma Mavis Terraza. Back and forth, all day long, back and forth. Adrade shifted from one Komai record to another, searching, undecided, uneasy. First, a look at Sightail, then young Teg out there with Duncan and Mabella, then a long stare out a window while she thought about Basmali's last report from Lampadas. How soon could they try to restore the Basha's memories? Would a restored Gola obey? Why no more word from the rabbi? Should we begin extremis progressiva, sharing among ourselves as far as possible? The effect on morale would be devastating. Records were projected above her table while aides and advisers entered and departed. Necessary interruptions. Sign this. Approve that. Decrease melange for this group. Belonda was here, seated at the table. She had stopped asking what Odrade sought and merely watched with that unwavering stare, merciless. They had argued about whether a new sandworm population in the scattering might restore the tyrant's malign influence. That endless dream in each revenant of the worm still worried Bell. But population numbers alone said the tyrant's hold on their destiny was ended. Tamerlane had come in earlier seeking some record from Belonda. Fresh from a new accumulation of archives, Belonda had launched herself into a diatribe about sisterhood population shifts, the drain on resources. Odrade stared out the window now as dusk moved across the landscape. It became darker in almost imperceptible shadings. As full dark fell, she became aware of lights far out in the plantation houses. She knew those lights had been turned on much earlier, but she had the sensation that night created the lights. Some blanked out occasionally, as people moved about in their dwellings. No people, no lights. Don't waste energy. Winking light held her attention for a moment. A variation on the old question about a tree falling in the forest. Was there sound, if no one heard? Odrade voted on the side of those who said vibrations existed no matter whether a sensor recorded them. Do secret sensors follow our scattering? What new talents and inventions do the first scattered ones use? Belonda had allowed long enough silence.
Gah! You're sending worrisome signals through Chapter House.
Odrade accepted this without comment.
Whatever you're doing, it's being interpreted as indecision.
How sad Bell sounds.
Important groups are discussing whether to replace you. Proctors are voting.
Only the proctors?
Dah! Did you really wave at Praska the other day and tell her it was good to be alive?
I did.
What have you been doing?
Reassessing. No word yet from Dortujla?
You've asked that at least a dozen times today.
Belonda gestured at the work table.
You keep going back to Buzmali's last report from Lampadas. Something we've overlooked?
Why do our enemies hold fast on Gamu? Tell me, Mentat.
I've insufficient data and you know it.
Basmali was no Mentat, but his picture of events has a persistent force, Bell. I tell myself, well, after all, he was the Basha's favorite student. It's understandable that Basmali would show characteristics of his teacher.
Out with it, Gar. What do you see in Basmali's report?
He fills in an empty picture. Not completely, but tantalizing the way he keeps referring to Gamu. Many economic forces have powerful connections there. Why are those threads not cut by our enemies?
They're in that same system, obviously.
What if we mounted an all-out attack on Gamu?
No one wants to do business in violent surroundings, that what you're saying?
Partly.
Most parties to that economic system probably would want to move. Another planet, another subservient population.
Why?
They could predict with more reliability. They would increase defenses, of course.
This alliance we sense there, Bell. They would redouble their efforts to find and obliterate us.
Certainly.
Belonda's terse comment forced Adraid's thoughts outward. She lifted her gaze to the distant, snow-tonsured mountains glimmering in starlight. Would attackers come from that direction? The thrust of that thought might have dulled a lesser intellect, but Adraid needed no litany against fear to remain clear-headed. She had a simpler formula. Face your fears or they will climb over your back. Her attitude was direct. The most terrifying things in the universe came from human minds. The nightmare, the white horse of Bene Gesserit extinction, possessed both mythic and reality forms. The hunter with the axe could strike mind or flesh, but you could not flee the terrors of the mind.
Face them then.
What did she confront in this darkness? Not that faceless hunter with her axe, not the drop into the unknown chasm, both visible to her bit of talent, but the very tangible honored matres and whoever supported them.
And I dare not use even my small prescience to guide us. I could lock our future into unchanging form. Muad'Dib and his tyrant son did that, and the tyrant spent 3,500 years extricating us.
Moving lights in the middle distance caught her attention. Gardeners working late, still pruning the orchards as though those venerable trees would go on forever. Ventilators gave her a faint odor of smoke from fires where orchard trimmings were being burned. Very attentive to such details, the Bene Gesserit gardeners. Never leave deadwood around to attract parasites that might then take the next step into living trees. Clean and neat, plan ahead, maintain your habitat. This moment is part of forever.
Never leave deadwood around?
Was Gamu deadwood?
What is it about orchards that fascinates you so much?
Belonda wanted to know. Adraid spoke without turning.
They restore me.
Only 2 nights ago she had gone walking out there, the weather cold and bracing, a touch of mist close to the ground. Her feet stirred leaves. Faint smell of compost where a sparse rain had settled in warmer, low places. A rather attractive, marshy smell. Life in its usual ferment even at that level. Depressing, really, when compared with springtime or harvest season, but beautiful in its flow. Life once more waiting for its call to action.
Aren't you worried about the proctors?
Belonda asked.
How will they vote, Bell?
It's very close.
Will others follow them?
There's concern about your decisions. Consequences.
Bell was very good at that. A great deal of data in a few words. Most Bene Gesserit decisions moved through a triple maze. Effectiveness. Consequences and, most vital, who can carry out orders. You matched deed and person with great care, precise attention to details. This had a heavy influence on effectiveness and that, in turn, ruled consequences. A good Mother Superior could wend her way through decision mazes in seconds. Liveliness in central, then. Eyes brightened. Word was passed that she acted without hesitation. That created confidence among acolytes and other students. Reverend mothers, proctors especially, waited to assess consequences. Adraid spoke to her reflection in the window as much as to Belonda.
Even Mother Superior must take her own time.
But what has you in such turmoil?
Are you urging speed, Bell?
Belonda drew back in her chair dog as though Adraid had pushed her.
Patience is extremely difficult in these times, Adraid said, but choosing the right moment influences my choices.
What do you intend with our new Teg? That's the question you must answer.
If our enemies removed themselves from Gamu, where would they go, Bell?
You would attack them there?
Push them a bit.
Belonda spoke softly.
That's a dangerous fire to feed.
We need another bargaining chip.
Honored matres don't bargain.
But their associates do, I think. Would they remove themselves to, let us say, Junction?
What is so interesting about Junction?
Honored matres are based there in force. and our beloved Basha kept a memory dossier of the place in his lovely Mentat mind.
Oh!
It was as much a sigh as a word.
Tamerlane entered then and demanded attention by standing silently until O'Draid and Balonda looked at her.
The Proctor's support, Mother Superior. Tamerlane held up a clawed finger. By one vote.
O'Draid sighed. Tell us, Tam. The Proctor I greeted in the hallway, Praska, how did she vote?
She voted for you.
O'Draid aimed a tight smile at Balonda.
Send out spies and agents, Bell. We must goad the hunters into meeting us on Junction.
Bell will deduce my plan by morning. When Balonda and Tamerlane had gone, muttering to each other, worry in the sound of their voices, O'Draid went out into the short corridor to her private quarters. The corridor was patrolled by its usual acolytes and Reverend Mother servitors. A few acolytes smiled at her. So word of the Proctor's vote had reached them. Another crisis passed. O'Draid went through her sitting room to her sleeping cell, where she stretched out on her cot, fully clothed. One glow globe bathed the room in pale yellow light. Her gaze went past the desert map to the Van Gogh painting in its protective frame and cover on the wall at the foot of her cot. Cottages at Cordeville. A better map than the one marking the growth of the desert, she thought.
Remind me, Vincent, of where I came from and what I yet may do.
This day had drained her. She had gone beyond fatigue into a place where the mind caught itself in tight circles.
Responsibilities.
They hemmed her in, and she knew she could be her most disagreeable self when beset by duties, forced to expend energy just maintaining a semblance of calm demeanor.
Bell saw this in me.
It was maddening. The sisterhood was cut off at every passage, made almost ineffectual. She closed her eyes and tried to construct an image of an honored Matre commander to address.
Old, steeped in power, sinewy, strong, and with that blinding speed they have.
No face on her, but the visualized body stood there in O'Draid's mind. Forming the words silently, O'Draid spoke to the faceless honored Matre.
It is difficult for us to let you make your own mistakes. Teachers always find this hard. Yes, we consider ourselves teachers. We do not so much teach individuals as the species. We provide lessons for all. If you see the tyrant in us, you are right.
The image in her mind made no reply. How could teachers teach when they could not emerge from hiding? Basmali dead, Gula Teg an unknown quantity. O'Draid felt invisible pressures converging on Chapter House. No wonder proctors voted. A web enclosed the sisterhood. The strands held them tightly, and somewhere on that web a faceless, honored Matre commander crouched. Spider Queen. Her presence was known by actions of her minions. A trap strand of her web trembled, and attackers hurled themselves onto entangled victims, insanely violent, uncaring how many of their own died or how many they butchered. Someone commanded the search. Spider Queen.
Is she sane by our standards? Into what awful perils have I sent Dortushla?
Honored Matres went beyond megalomania. They made the tyrant appear a ridiculous pirate by comparison. Leto II, at least, had known what the Bene Gesserit knew.